Indeed.com.
In the Old Testament book of Joshua, God is leading his people, the Israelites, into the land that he had promised them. Right? He had led them out of Egypt 40 years earlier. He had given great signs and wonders in the form of 10 plagues, amazing plagues that caused Pharaoh to release them and let them go free. Then he had split the Red Sea so that the people could walk across it to escape their enemies. When they refused to go into the land because they were fearful, he made them wait 40 years until that generation, including Moses, their leader, passed away. All the while, he provided them manna, a bread-like substance for food, quail for meat, water, as they wandered through the desert. Then, when it came time to enter the promised land, God chose Joshua to succeed Moses and to lead the people in. So as they were about to go into the land, they needed to cross the Jordan. And when the men carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy representation of the one true God in the place where his presence dwelled among the people, the waters of the Jordan parted, and once again the entire nation walked across dry land, just like he had done with the Red Sea earlier. 3 million people, about estimated, walked across this area. But before they took over that land, which they needed to do, they were going to have to go into battle. And before God led them into battle to secure the land that he was giving them, he told the men of each tribe to go out and to take a stone, 12 huge stones. Now, this is not as huge as they would have. He said, carry it on their shoulders. I can hold this in my hand. I mean, barely, but you know, I can do that. So boulders that they carried out of the sea, and they built an altar on the other side when they got there. And God told them that the reason they needed to do this, the reason that they needed to build this altar, was so that in the future, that they and their children would remember all these things that God had done. Right? He knew in the future they would need reminders of these kinds of things. And so before God sent them into face their battles, he wanted them to remember the amazing things he had already done for them. He wanted them to have confidence to face whatever it was they were facing, because they would know God is with us. God is with us. Now, I bring that up to ask you a question this morning. Do you have times where you can look in your life and say very clearly, yeah, God brought me through that? Right? Like, if that were a moment, you would take a stone and build it as part of your altar there, right? Like, I remember how God did that. Maybe it was when you first came to faith in Christ. I mean, we all hopefully have that stone. Right? Like, you had no business receiving the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God, but he extended it to you anyway because of his great love for you. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus and received that. Maybe it was a time where you lost a close friend or a family member and God's presence was there. Or maybe you didn't lose them, but you had to face a difficult prognosis or a circumstance together, and it seemed like God was carrying you through. Maybe it was a step of faith that you had to take in your life with a job or a friendship or a calling of some kind. Like, it was really, really difficult, and you had no idea how you were going to get through it, but you did because God was carrying you. Like, he came through. Maybe it was a miracle of some kind. Like, I know you're in a financially hard place, and then someone came up to you and said, I just feel like God is telling me to give this to you. And you open the envelope and it's just enough to cover the bill you didn't have any clue how you were going to pay. Maybe it was, again, a hard circumstance that you were going through, an addiction that you needed to break, or even a physical healing that was needed. and you leaned on God, because let's face it, what other choice do we have, right? But he did this miraculous thing. Can anyone here, and I'll just say, slip your hand up, can anyone here say they've experienced God come through in a way like that sometime in their life? If that's you, stick your hand up, right? We could look around, like pretty much everyone here is going, yeah, God, I've seen him do things. Now, you look back on that and say, I trust God, right? He came through. He showed up. He did it before, whatever it is I'm facing now, and he can do it again. Because before God sends us out to face the battles we're going to face, he wants us to remember these amazing things that he's already done for us. Now, here's the reason I say all that. If we really want to live out a life of rejoicing, which is our series, right? Reasons to Rejoice. In the here and now, we're going to need to live with the realization that at every moment, all times, that our God is with us, right? Our God is with us. We will never have to do this life alone, and that is a reason to rejoice. Now, there's two things in particular that I want to focus in on a little bit this morning, the presence and the power of God. Presence and the power of God. And here's, you know, big statement or the main statement here. Because we have Jesus, we have the presence and power of God working in us and through us. Right? Because we have Jesus, we have the power and presence of God working in us and through us. So think about the presence of God. Right? We often think of the presence of God as a sense or feeling of God being close or near to us. I think it's similar to what David wrote about in Psalm 139, right? Psalm 139, and we have the, here's verses 1 through 18 of Psalm 139, right? Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Right? What an incredible picture of the nearness of God, the closeness of God, or the presence of God in someone's life. Now, hopefully, we are experiencing that kind of very tangible presence of God regularly, or at least some of the time, right? Hopefully, we have a sense of God's presence in our life and can feel his presence in our life. But, we also have to remember that God is with us even when we don't sense or feel it. Right? Like, what did we say in a series a while back? Facts don't care about your feelings. Right? God is with you whether you feel it or not. The truth is what it is, and your feelings really don't have a say in that. And that's, I think, why it's important to trust God's word, which is truth, instead of our feelings. So when God says, I am with you, he is with you. When God says, I will never leave you, He will never leave you. When he says, I will not forsake you, like we've got to cling to that truth, regardless of how we feel. God is close. He is near. That's the truth about God's presence. Even when you don't sense or feel him close to you, God didn't go anywhere. He has not left you. He's right there. So his presence, but also his power. His power. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 says this, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Right? Far more abundantly is the power that's at work within us. God is able to do immeasurably and abundantly more than we can ask, than we can think to ask, and that we can even imagine possible. Right now, when Paul wrote these words, I was thinking about this, like when Paul wrote these words, like Paul had seen a lot, right? He had seen a lot of things happen. He had seen thousands and thousands of people coming to follow Jesus despite opposition, even when he was one of them who were opposing the believers. He had heard the voice of Jesus confront him as a persecutor of Christians when he came to believe. He had seen prison doors open in the middle of the night, being in jail for sharing the gospel. He saw people get healed. He saw God transform his life from being a zealous persecutor of Christians to someone who did more to spread the gospel, the good news about Jesus, than probably any other human being in history. Like, Paul had actually seen far more incredible things than any one of us have in a spiritual sense. And yet he is saying God can do abundantly more than that. Right? That is some kind of power. And that's the power that is at work in us and within us, working through us, working within us, within you and within me. So on the one hand, we've got the power of God and the presence of God. On the other hand, we've got the power of God, right, working in us and through us. Presence and power. Now, what struck me about prepping, when I was prepping for this weekend, what really struck me about the passages that I was looking up and reading through and kind of working through, studying through, and I'm like, you know, the passages that talk about the presence of God or Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they contain an aspect of his power connected to it almost every time. Right? Not every time, but most of the time. We see it in the Old Testament, power and presence both kind of intertwined and linked. God says often, do not be afraid in one form or another. It's repeated, it's one of the most repeated phrases in the Old Testament, or at least that or variations of it. And yet it's almost always in conjunction with, because he's with us, right? His presence and his power. So example, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right? So God had just told Joshua he was going in with the people to take over the land that God had promised them. And he also was telling him here, you and the people are supposed to be vigilant about keeping my commands. That's going to require you to be bold, to be courageous, to be strong. They would need his power in their efforts to do those things, right? He told them, though, to be strong and courageous, but he also promised them he would be with them in the middle of it. He promised them his presence as well as his power. Don't be dismayed. Don't be frightened. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. In Isaiah 41, 9 through 10, he's speaking here to Isaiah about the people, about the nation, in essence. You are my servant, Again, he's saying this about all of them. I have chosen you, this people, and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Like, again, these weren't words that God was just speaking to Isaiah the prophet, right? They weren't directed to him personally. They were directed to the people. He was supposed to share this with the people, right? I am with you. I will strengthen you. I am your God. And they would have his presence, he says, right? I'm with you, and I am your God. And they would accomplish his ways, accomplish his word by his power. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. See, so often, God says the reason that we don't have to be afraid or that we can be strong or those sorts of things is because he is with us. We have his power because we have his presence. They go hand in hand. In the New Testament, we see it as well. John, and we'll sing a song of worship that we've been doing here recently in a bit, but John, chapter 15, says this. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So abide, right? Presence, abide in his presence, and bear fruit, right? Which comes from the power of God. And to emphasize the importance, Jesus says, apart from me, in other words, without his presence, we can do nothing. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul prays this, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Right? That Christ may dwell in your heart. That's about his presence. And that you would be strengthened. That's about his power. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? Christ lives within me, the presence, and as a result, I now live by faith, power. In Hebrews 13, the writer reminds us that God said he's going to never leave us, never forsake us, and that he is our helper. Right? It talks about his presence, but it's in the middle of a bunch of things he's telling us that we either should do or should not do, right, in life. It's about his power. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, right, displays it too. Go into all the world, make disciples, right? Baptize them, teach them to do what I've said, evangelism, discipleship. And behold, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. Right? I will be with you. You'll have my presence. So go do what I'm commanding you. I'm giving you my power to do this. Romans 8:11 tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. Like God has put his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in us. It enables God to always be with us. It doesn't matter where we go. He is still with us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. That allows him to say very clearly, I am always with you. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. And so kind of back to our main point, because we have Jesus, right? Because we put our faith and trust in him, we have the presence and the power of God working in us and through us. And, you know, according to some things in Scripture, that allows us to be, as Scripture says, more than conquerors, Like, right, we're like warriors for his purpose. It allows us to do all things that he calls us to do through Christ who strengthens us. It allows us to have victory over sin and over in our lives as we yield ourselves to trust his strength instead of our own. It allows us to do things that would otherwise be impossible, because things that are impossible with men, with people, are not impossible with God. Right? We have Jesus. And because we have Jesus, we have the presence and the power of God working in us and through us. I remember, way back in the day, when I was a much younger man, I remember playing basketball with my kids when they were little. Now, to be honest, they didn't have much interest in basketball. We had a basketball hoop. It was, you know, you could lower it down to whatever, 6-7 feet or so, and drop that down. And we'd have that hoop, and the kids would play. Now, at the time, when they had some interest, like Kayla was, well, she still is the oldest. It's kind of how it works. But she was the oldest, but also the tallest at the time. And back in grade school, she would always, like, take the basketball, go to that spot directly in front of the hoop, about 3 or 4 feet away, throw the ball up, bounce it off the backboard, and through the rim. Every time. Just through. Through. She didn't want to move spots because she could make it from there. Right? That's how it was. Now, Megan, number two, she, not as big and not as tall as Kayla, but super strong. So even though she was, you know, a bit younger, she could still throw the ball up there and get it in. Like, that was no problem for her, and she would move all over the place. That sort of thing. Now, when it came to the younger two, when we had this basketball hoop, it was a whole different story, because they were very little, right? Emily and Taryn, both younger, they wanted to play, but even with the hoop lowered, like, all the way down, they couldn't throw the ball that high. Like, there was no chance. They would never make a shot. It was, like, physically impossible for them. Right? And basketball is no fun when you can't get the ball through the hoop. It's even less fun when you can't get the ball anywhere near the hoop, right? Like, what's the point? And I remember as a dad, right, having to be out there with them, you would just kind of like, eventually you'd kind of like put the ball in their hands and lift them up and just have them drop the ball in the hoop. Right? Kind of like that. Like, just drop the ball in the hoop. Just drop the ball in the hoop. And they can make it if I help them. Right? Actually, it was more like me making the basket for them, almost. Like, you almost had to put the kid in the hoop to get them to do it, because they would drop the ball on the way up. You'd be halfway up there, and they'd drop the ball. Or they'd be an inch away and still somehow manage to miss. All they had to do was just let go of the ball. And I was thinking about that illustration and that story, and I thought, that seems like how it is a lot of times in our lives when it comes to the power of God. Like, we can try and try and try and try to do it on our own, but it's impossible. We can't get the ball anywhere near the hoop. We can't even come close. Unless God gives us the power that we need, it's like we need God to pick us up and to hold us up to the rim, and so we can just like drop the ball through. If it's anything other than that, we're probably going to fail. But when he gives us the power, when he's present and gives us that power, it's a sure thing. As long as we don't try and find some way to mess it up, right? Because we have Jesus, we have the presence Right? His arms are around us. He's holding us. And we have the power of God working through us, allowing us to accomplish what he wants for us to do. So this morning, I want to ask a question. What do you need God's presence and power to accomplish in your life? What do you need God's presence and power to accomplish in your life? Now, it's pretty important that when we talk about something like that, we put it in the right context, right? Like, we have to be asking for things in our life that are in line with his will for us. That's what we should be seeking. Like, you don't want to be asking for something he doesn't want for you. Because if you do, you better hope that he doesn't give it to you. Right? God always knows what is best for us, even if we don't see it his way. If it's in line with his will, maybe his answer will be yes. His answer maybe would be not yet, not now. But look, we should keep asking, we should keep praying. And I just think that there's three areas this morning where we're going to spend just a moment praying for each one of them. And the specific areas are this. Is there a struggle with sin that you're facing? Is there a spiritual battle you feel like you're fighting? Or is there something else? Right? Because there are a lot of things that we can be praying for. And so I just want to ask, for you this morning, is there a struggle with sin? For any one of us. Like, maybe it's really hard to turn away from some past mistakes that you made, some failures, some sin, stuff that's against God's heart. Because, you know, you got too far off course, and you're in way too deep, and you feel like you're stuck running back to the same habits and patterns. Can't get past that. It's a terrible picture, but an accurate one, where Scripture talks about how us running back to our sin is like a dog returning to its vomit. It's a terrible image, but it's what we often do. And we're running back to the very thing that Jesus died to set us free from. Right? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, though, says this: therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. So we know, look, in our hearts, we're probably, if this is you this morning, God's probably tugging on you a little bit, and or maybe a whole lot. And we know we need to stay away from sin, but it's a struggle. We need to look to Jesus. We need his presence. We need his power for the strength to stay away. So if that's you this morning, I want to just take a minute and we'll pray. Father God, you know where we struggle with sin. You know everything about us. But specifically, you know the reasons we struggle, the challenges we face, where our heart is hard towards you, where maybe we're just stuck in a pattern or a habit that we need to break, that we know is just stuff in our life that is not according to your will. It's not your heart for us. It's what the Bible calls sin. And first off, we want to just confess that this morning, that we've continued to struggle with that, and ask for your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace. And you promise you'll give it to us, and we are so grateful. We just want to receive that. But we pray for your presence in our life to be made known in such a way that we have your power to have victory over that struggle with sin. Whatever it is this morning, God, we pray for that, and we pray as a community on behalf of those who are feeling that struggle today. And we pray and we ask you to bring your power and presence to bear in their lives so that they could see victory, that they could come to the end of themselves and their own efforts to try and do it on their own and trust and rely on you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Maybe the second area is a spiritual battle. Like maybe there's a spiritual battle that you know you are fighting in or need to be fighting in right now. And I want to be careful with that. I hope we won't just jump to the conclusion that every bad thing that happens in our life or everything that's going on is like the direct work of the devil. You know, I tripped over a rock because the devil put it there kind of thing. But sometimes there are spiritual strongholds or forces that seem to hinder things that we feel like God wants to do. You know, maybe it's a friend or a loved one who is just resistant to coming to faith in Christ, and that's heartbreaking. Maybe it's something preventing impact with people in your world, or a lack of openness in the people around you to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And the answer is to pray, right? To seek God's presence, to intervene, and to break through in power. Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so our answer is to pray, to ask God to bring his presence and his power to bear. So let's pray for that, if that's happening in your life. Father God, sometimes it's difficult for us to know whether something is an actual spiritual attack of the enemy versus just some bad circumstances or a broken world that we live in. But God, there are clearly times where the enemy is working against us, trying to prevent things in our lives that we know that you want to see go in a different direction. And we need to cry out to you. We need to seek you. We need your presence. We need your power in these areas. And we're asking for you in this particular things that might be stirring in our heart, the thoughts or the situations that come to mind that are a clear spiritual attack, a spiritual battle in our lives. We pray for you to be moving in power, that you would be present in our life, that you would be moving in power, and that you would break whatever strongholds are there that seem to be preventing what you want to accomplish. Whether that's something in us that we need to allow to be broken, or something in our world around us, the people around us, those who are resistant to you, would you break through? Would you make your presence known and sensed and felt? Because when your presence is there, it just moves people's hearts. But would you work in power where there are strongholds that seem to be preventing that? God, we don't know the specific circumstances in each person's life, but we lift it before you and we ask for you to be working and moving in power and by your presence in those situations. We lift them before you in the name of Christ. Amen. And then just maybe it's something else, right? Maybe it's something completely different. It's not either of those things. Maybe it doesn't really fall into a clear category, but we should pray about it anyway. Like it might just be a conflict you have with someone that you'd love to see resolved, or a tough decision that you need to make, or someone you know, or maybe you, who is just looking for work and can't find it, or a struggle with physical pain or a mental illness. Maybe you're needing to hear God's voice so you can have clarity about a direction in your life that you need to take, or a decision that you need to make, or it's something else. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Right? So, again, back to the question, what do you need God's presence and power to accomplish in your life? So I'm going to just take a moment and be still and be silent and allow you to speak in the quietness of your heart to the Lord about what that might be. Lord God, we know that you hear us. We're thankful that you hear us. We pray for your answer. Pray for you to move. And again, we want to surrender it to you in the sense that we want it to be whatever our request is according to your will for us, because you know what's best. But again, God, we pray that your presence in our life and in this situation or in these circumstances would be clear, and that you would move in power the way that you want to see things go. And we lift all of these things that we prayed for this morning to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to close with worship, just remembering, seek him out. Seek his presence. Rely on his presence and his power in your life. If you're really not sure, can he come through? Remember what he's already done in you. He did it before. He can do it again. So let's worship this morning.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.